Just because they are born into a traditional environment where gender stereotypes rule the roost, it doesn't mean women have to remain tied down. With support and motivation, they can break all barriers and follow their dreams, their passions. Our guest this week, Nidhi Khaitan Modi, is a prime example of this. Though born into a traditional orthodox family, she received all possible encouragement and support, first from her father, then from her husband and in-laws, to have a career and follow her dreams. Today, she is the founder and CEO of her company, Mamily, a support platform for working parents. So let's talk to Nidhi and find out how she fought her battles and emerged victorious. So hi, Nidhi, and welcome to this series of conversations where we get women achievers, who we call women trailblazers, to share the stories of their lives with us, to tell us about their struggles, challenges, their successes, ups and downs, so that other women who are listening to them, they also get inspired to follow their passions, to follow their talents and do, you know, what they're capable of. And eventually, we want to build a community of women who are there to support, empower and motivate each other. So thank you so much for being on the show and welcome.
Thank you, Sangeeta. Pleasure to be here.
All right, so let's begin. And so just as like an icebreaker, tell us a little bit about yourself and your early life.
So, Sangeeta, I'm born in Bombay, grew up in Delhi. I went to Convent of Jesus and Mary, did my undergrad in the US in computer information systems from Indiana University. And right from college, I did a joint venture with the Princeton Review along with my sister. Then built India's largest study abroad company by a company named Manya Education Private Limited. And then joined a family business, which is into FMCG, which we call Nippo Batteries. There I, in our FMCG business, I built a distribution network of baby care products of Nubi, Pigeon, Feel Free, Fisher Price, Avon, Mothercare, etc. It became India's largest baby care distribution house, and also started a private solar off-grid brand called Mithva, in which we were able to sell 2 million portable units, offset about 5 to 6 tons of carbon footprint. When COVID hit, a lot of soul searching happened, decided that I wanted to pivot to something in healthcare, researched FemTech, found issues in maternity and parenting completely fractured, broken, statistics were alarming. The topic became very closely passionate to me. And then I started a FemTech company recently called Mamily. It's India's largest digital platform in maternity and parenting. And loving building that. And we're able to work with lots of corporates. We're working now with Amazon, Baxter, Muthoot, Impressico, Healthium, Akash Institute, etc., Care Health Insurance. So really enjoying helping helping maternity customers across the country and parents engage with their lives better so that they can thrive versus just survive.
Wonderful, wonderful. So if you were to go back to your childhood, is there any memory that you have which you think made you the way you are today, shaped, helped shape your personality?
So, Sangeeta, I come from a traditional Marwadi family, which is very male-dominated. And it was joint family, so there was, and we're only sisters, so there was a lot of biases we grew up with, gender biases, anti-feminist talks, a lot of male prejudices. But we got a lot of support from our father, who was very futuristic. He's a visionary feminist, and he really pushed me and my sisters to go out there, study abroad, be the best versions, to get into corporate careers and build businesses. So I think the negativity, anti-feminine Semitism pushed us to be more aggressive and out there. And this pat on the back from the father is what gave us the motivation. So that there was a carrot and a stick, both.
All right. So of course, so you are, what you're saying is that though you come from a background where probably women having a career was not like something that everyone did or wanted women to do, but your father being progressive kind of made sure that you decided to have something, to do something in life in terms of a career. Am I right?
Yeah, he was a big motivation.
Yeah, okay, okay. So tell me, of course, growing up in Bombay in a traditional family, then starting your career, and of course, you know, doing so well, Just can you elaborate on some of the challenges in terms of being an individual, a woman, a daughter in your journey so far, which you think
Sangeeta,
are
I
the
grew up in
main
Delhi. I was
relating?
born in Bombay. Challenges of being a woman in India, which while we worship Durga Ma, but I think women are really badly treated in our country, and especially being in businesses of rural and urban, I've seen the trend across society. And the challenges are always there's always been resistance in how to that why do women need to have a career, and how we are second fiddle to men. To balance the power play has always been a challenge. Whether you're in the workplace, also you're always second guessed, and you also have to doubly deal with mansplaining and deal in a male-dominated society to show that to be taken seriously. So, like any other woman, the challenges have been the same. But yeah, I had support from my parents and my siblings, which helped us overcome, and the exposure of having studied abroad and risk grew up in a business environment, so always learned business. Those were always bedside conversations. So that was the catalyst that helped. But being a female where you're supposed to be able to excel in all roles, that becomes challenging. But for me, where I've been blessed is I've been married into a family which is very progressive. My mother-in-law runs India's largest art gallery. My husband also has been grown up in a feminist environment where his mother's always taught him that women need to be working. So extreme support of equality and egalitarian, which others don't get. I have two daughters, and I think I'm trying to raise them to be as equal as any other gender. Maybe a little bit of a superiority complex. I think women are able to multitask and intellectually and emotionally way superior than men. So I definitely come from that field of thought. So the challenges have been there, but their life, what is life without challenges? And then when you succeed beyond challenges, that makes the ride even more better.
That's true. And even but when you were setting up your businesses,
Right.
did you
So
face
when
any discrimination or anything you felt that you were not
on
doing well?
every place, at every level, there was discrimination being a female. Whether candidates coming for interviews, they didn't want to work for female bosses, whether corporate tie-ups, companies preferring to sign with competitors with weaker financials and weaker offerings just because they wanted to give it to another guy. Constant. It's a woman has to really doubly work hard to prove herself at par with a guy, leave alone show she's superior. The challenges were there at every step, but you have to overcome them. But I also feel that times are changing now. I'm running a tech company, and I see lots of female co-founders out there. So I think the tides are changing, and it's our next generation is going. We had it a lot easier than our mothers did, and I think our daughters will have it a lot easier than us.
So that's, of course, that's positive. So tell me, as a woman, of course, you have different roles to play. We all have multiple hats, mother, daughter, daughter-in-law, then of course a working lady running a business. So any strategy or any mantra or any formula that you have of being able to balance the different roles or multitask?
I'm able to choose what I want to invest my time in, and able to choose what I don't want to invest my time in. So I make my health, my family, which is my parents, my in-laws, my husband, my siblings, and my kids, extreme priority, and my career extreme priority. And health includes my own spiritual, which is health, the mind practices, and also my religious practices, and obviously health, fitness practices. And what definitely takes a huge beating is socializing with friends. That takes a huge beating, but it's a conscious beating to be able to be good at what I want to do, be good at, and what I give less importance in my life to. To
Yeah,
let
that's
that go, take a back seat.
definitely. But on a day-to-day basis, say you have things, something important at home and at work, then sometimes we fumble and we don't know what to do. So
So it
those
takes a
are.
village to raise a child. So I have a great support system between siblings, my mother-in-law. So it takes so and my husband's very hands-on as well. So we, and because I'm an entrepreneur, so I do have some sort of flexibility on my timing, that if some days I need to go a little bit early, I am able to go in. But then there are days when I need to work on weekends, I'm working all through weekends as well. So able to bake in that a little bit of flexibility. But you juggle, I mean, I work on a tight schedule from early mornings, from the time the kids leave to school to the time they're back. So far able to juggle the roles, and then weekends is only for health and family. So far
I
managing
guess
to.
knowing when to do what, and how much.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. When you need to dive into the extras at work, you dive into that. And when you need to pull a little bit because there's a family emergency or a crisis or a health emergency, then you pull back as well.
Okay. So if you were to look back on your life, what do you think has been your biggest success so far? And here I'm not talking only of professional, it could be personal, it could be anything that which meant something to you and you were able to do it.
I think the biggest success in life is not the money you make, but it's the goodwill of family and health and friends that you're able to build around you. That I would define as the biggest success, that you're able to have a family that is your emotional crutch when you crash. That is a very big success factor, and I feel blessed that I have 5 friends that have been each in my life over 20 years that I can go back to. Who are my safe landing spots? Very emotionally supportive family that one can rely when things go down. And it's not that I've not had career setbacks, but been able to pull. Always had a positive attitude that every time I've hit a stumbling block, been able to pull up and rebuild from there.
So I guess that is it. Because professional successes or failures, I think they are just momentary. They come and go, but it is how you deal with them and how you're able to pull yourself out of them. That is what matters.
I would give all my corporate success to my father, because if it wasn't for him, he wouldn't have taken us to all the multinational factories all over the world to give us exposure. If he wouldn't have sent us abroad to study, we wouldn't have gotten the grooming, the self-confidence. If he wouldn't have given us a seed capital, how would we have built India's largest study abroad company? And every time we hit fumbling blocks, he picked us back and put us back on the map. So I think behind my success is my father, single-handedly.
So on a day-to-day basis, what keeps you motivated, inspired, and like raring to go?
Extreme passion for excellence. Anything I do, I have to do it well. So whether it's my meditation, the routine I follow, whether it's my workout, whether it's a parenting skill, trying to constantly learn, read a lot, every year invest in one self-development course for trying to develop a new personal mastery. And when I come to work, my always is to lead from the front. So whether it's and in a tech company, you're running on a treadmill at the speed of 12. So every day there's some massive achievement happening and there's a massive tech crash happening. So from excitement to absolute nervousness, everything happens in the same 24-hour journey. So that's how I'm able to motivate myself. And every day to see that we're moving steps forward, we're solving issues in people's lives. Whether just to give some statistics, India has 67,000 kids are born a day, 20,000 die every day. We have the highest maternal mortality rate, highest infant mortality rate. 50% of women have births through cesarean, when WHO says there shouldn't be more than 10%. So why do they say that? Because it has long-term damaging impact on a mother and child. But why does it happen? Because the system is broken. It's handled by medical practitioners, which find there's nothing wrong in surgery. There's a fear-based paradigm that cesarean births are easier. So there's lack of knowledge and awareness, which needs can all be transformed by giving more knowledge and support. 50% of Indian women are anemic. Anemic mother gives birth to an anemic child. And that's why we have the largest stunted population in the world. So 91% of women have postpartum depression, when only 33% get treated. So undiagnosed, undetected postpartum depression leads to long-term anxiety and depression disorders in women. These are just the maternity issues we are trying to solve. In parenting, we have 40 crore children under 18. 10% are obese. 50% children between 15 and 18 are under depression. 65% children have screen addiction of more than 7.5 hours a day. And 1 in 100 kids have some sort of neurodivergence issues of ADHD, ADD, OCD. So the problems are massive for women in the country and children. And we are two-thirds of the world population, women and children. So it's such a vast problem that it'll take hundreds of families to solve. But what motivates us is every day we're coming and we are getting customer satisfaction. We get accolades that we're doing a great job. People are happy with our services. We are signing more clients and we're able to solve issues for life, for lives, and helping people thrive versus just survive, and helping women go from fight to flight to freeze to turn around and really thrive in their lives. You know, 33% of corporate women, corporate world are women, but 70% of them quit their job by 30 because there's a conflict between the age when your career rises and your maternal instinct. So they're not able to cope. But research shows that if they're given the right information and support, there'll be the cortisol levels go down. They have a happier, healthier pregnancy, and then they're able to go back to their working lives and continue to be income generators for themselves and their families versus just be childbearing and rearing mammals, which we're not. We're much more than childbearing mammals.
Correct, correct.
Society has branded us and put us in.
So I guess this ability to be able to make, even if it's a drop in the ocean, but at least there is a beginning, there is something that you've done. So I'm sure that motivates you and inspires you to do more and more and not just sit back and, you know, just take it easy,
Our
right?
ability to contribute to society is what motivates us and makes us thrive.
So 10 years from now, what do you see yourself doing? Something different, continuing with this, or what is it?
I hope in 10 years of from now, Mamily has reaches reach every woman and family's heart at some way and solve some issue of theirs in their life. And for that, 10 years is a short journey. I hope that a lot of the money that we make, we're able to give back to CSR and serve underprivileged people. And I hope till the I've been, you know, grew up in a lot of CSR environments. 20% of our family wealth goes back to charity. So I hope I'm constantly making money and giving back to society.
Great, great, great. And personally, what do you see yourself doing 10 years from now? I mean, this is your work life, but.
So personal life and professional life all merge into one because when you're doing it,
Okay.
you're doing what you're passion. But my
Yes.
hobbies are in extreme spirituality. I have a lot of spiritual practices, adventure, tennis, swimming. These are all massive hobbies of mine. I hope I continue doing this. I hope 10 years from now that my daughters will, I'll be an empty nester. So I hope my kids will, I'll be still relevant in their lives then. And I'll get to maybe find ways to spend some quality time in being with my children, spending more quality time with my parents.
Sure, you will. You'll be a great, you are a great role model, I'm sure, because girls, young girls, they like seeing their mothers active, doing something, and you are doing it. And as they grow up, I'm sure they'll even understand what you're doing. So, you know,
Yeah.
that will, you know, be a
No, they're
connection.
very involved in Mamily, in the logo, the design, everything, the
Awesome.
social
Okay.
media.
Oh, yeah. All right.
They have a strong opinion, whether it's sensible or not, that's questionable, but the
Huh.
opinions are there.
So they are getting involved. Yeah. All
And
right.
because Mamily is about parenting, so now they find the feedback I've given, you're a way stricter mother after you got into Mamily because there's too many statistics in your head. So they're like, shut the screen. They're like, you didn't know all of this before. Now you know too much.
Too much over information.
Yeah.
All right.
The correct information. Now I have correct information and
Yeah,
I
but
can
they
show you
probably feel
statistics.
it's too much.
Yeah, you know, but for them, they're like, oh gosh.
All right. So tell me
Yeah.
something, some of the learnings of your life that you would like to share with us, because you know your learnings could help other people pick up something which they are struggling with.
I think every woman should be financially independent. I think once you get financial independence, that opens up a huge avenue for you to increase your self-confidence, not to put up with physical, mental, emotional abuse, which I feel that I have access to some very scary statistics, what happens to women by and large. I think I would tell everybody to be as educated as possible, be as financially independent as possible in whatever small, medium or large way. Nothing, no work is too small as long as it gives you passion and purpose and gives you some form of financial independence. One must do that. And women are born to be so much more than just a child rearer and not to limit themselves to just a role of raising families and managing families. They should really get out there and be the best version of them and of themselves and be as authentic. Find whatever's authentic to them and live your life authentically.
So that's what you think have been some learnings that you would like to share.
Absolutely. If I could inspire somebody, be authentic and be financially literate and financially independent.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So Nidhi, you are a successful woman and you come from a family which is well known. So when you meet people, it could be any gender, how do people react to successful women? Are they comfortable dealing with them?
Men are intimidated, women are envious and jealous.
I love it. You just sum it up. Okay.
If I had to be honest, I think most men are intimidated by successful women. And I think other women who have also arrived, obviously, then you're talking at a level with them. But the ones who haven't, then they definitely feel at some level envious, jealous. They feel that they got left behind. And I think if I had to define that in those two brackets. But I'm telling you, I'm very inspired, Sangeeta, after starting a tech company. I work with corporate HR, which are predominantly women. In my family, now we have 70% women employees working. I've never worked with so many women in my life, and I am impressed.
Yeah.
I am impressed. They are more hardworking, conscientious, project-driven, result-oriented. No cigarette bidi breaks going on. Because they need to go back home to children, they need to be more efficient at getting their work
yes,
done.
Yes, I think that's the key because you have because, a lot.
There's so a safe environment they get here in terms of egalitarianism. They want to ensure that they don't lose the job. So they really work hard to make sure that they do a good job.
Yes. That I think you've made a very pertinent point that women, because they have so much to do, they are more efficient. Because, you know, you have to plan, schedule everything, you've got 100 things. So it's like one after the
other. They're dropping their kid, they're doing their work, then they're picking up the kid, they're going home, chopping the veggies, cooking and sleeping. Not much support from the husband coming, but they're doing it because they want to continue being a breadwinner.
Yeah. That, I think, is commendable.
Yeah.
All right. So another thing that I have noticed, and probably I'm also guilty of it somewhere, so a lot of people nowadays we see after having followed a career for, say, maybe 10, 15, 20 years of their life, suddenly in their midlives, late 40s, early 50s, decide to do something else. Like a doctor becoming an author, somebody becoming a designer, somebody, you know, taking to music, somebody taking to hiking. So, you know, different kinds of things which earlier, I mean, of course, we knew them as hobbies, but we didn't know of people who would drop whatever they were doing and start doing these things. You know, earlier, if you remember, I mean, people would pick up a career. So a doctor was a doctor for life. You know, an accountant was an accountant for life. But now a lot of people have started experimenting and doing other stuff. So what are your views on that?
I think that's remarkable. Why be cliche and why be stuck to one profession for the rest of your life? There's a fine balance, which I find Gen X or Gen Z doesn't want to do anything stably. And every 1 year or 2 years, they want a career change. Versus our parents' generation, that they were bored but frustrated, but they stuck to that same career because they didn't know what better to do with their lives. I think it's okay after 40, 50, you know, you want to do something different with your life. Why not? Who defined the rules that, you know, you choose a career at 20, at 70, you're still at the same career? If you have a change of a career and there's something else that motivates and gives you passion, why not?
And plus,
while I've been in a corporate career, I've been from a service industry of study abroad to FMCG, from selling batteries to baby care products to solar lanterns to now running a health tech service company. So I've made very big career changes, and each career change has been a huge learning curve and expanded my horizon, expanded my learning. And maybe 10 years from now, I probably would be hiking or sitting in Rishikesh meditating. Who knows? Why not?
It also has to do with the fact that a lot of people, I think initially they, whatever they have studied or, you know, equipped themselves with the degrees and all of that, they work in those areas. And there is, of course, that financial, you know.
Obsolescence comes in.
Yes. And then you realize that, okay, I've made my money and I've kind of been doing this for a while and maybe, you know, taken care of my primary responsibilities. So now I can follow my passion. I think that awareness is coming big time to people.
Why not, Sangeeta? If women have been objectified all their lives, why not? Why shouldn't a woman at 45, 50, including you, have a career change? Look at you. You're starting a podcast. Why can't we adventure out to fail?
Yes.
And why is failure bad?
No, it isn't. I think it's a huge learning experience because it teaches you what to do and what not to do. And I think life
Failure
is.
is a stepping stone to success. My failures have taught me a lot more than my successes have. Successes have motivated me to keep going, but the failures have gotten me humble to learn from mistakes and reinvent myself.
And I guess you need a bit of both to have that balance in life. Some successes
Absolutely. Too
are.
much success will make you arrogant. Too much failure will make you depressed. So
Yeah.
there has to be rain and sunshine.
Of course, definitely, definitely. So, Nidhi, any piece of advice to young girls who are just on the threshold of their personal or professional lives? Anything you would like to tell them that they must keep in mind? And you
To
have
young girls,
learned
please work
about.
hard. Nowadays, I find women, girls or boys don't want to work hard. They're living Instagram lives. Don't live Instagram lives. It's a waste of time. Don't go into social media. It's a waste of time. Learn a career. Invest in the career. Build stability. Stability in your relationships, whether it's with a guy, whether it's a girl, and the stability in your careers. Build stability in your life versus just job hopping. I think the youth is very distracted.
Okay. So, anything else about two girls? Because youth means girls and boys both. So, anything for girls?
Build a village of support system because end of the day, we do girls do. I mean, part of a progression of for a girl's life is, you're born, you hit menstruation, then you hit maternity, then you hit parenting, then you hit menopause, and then eventually we check out. From back to where we came from. So you need a huge support system, whether you have to manage your parents, your in-laws, your careers, children. Have an ecosystem that helps you thrive versus saying, I can do it all alone. No, nobody can do it all alone. But it's okay to say that we have an ecosystem that supports us.
So I
So
guess
be
speaking
somebody
of
else's
help,
ecosystem and also develop your own ecosystem.
yes. And I think reaching out to ask for help is very important because, like you said, nobody can do it all.
No, nobody can do it all. That's impossible. Whoever says that is far away from reality.
True, true, true.
But the
So
good part is with women, we are better managers and we are better executioners, and we have more EQ. So when you have higher EQ, you're able to support others, be a support system to yourself. And women have lesser ego, so we're able to reach out for help and get things done faster. A guy will keep trying it again and again and again on his own. A woman will go, can you help me, teach me, do it fast and get done with it.
So that brings in more efficiency as well.
100%. I told you, I think women are a way superior race.
I agree.
We are
Another
feminist
thing,
women.
yes, which we keep hearing, which I have grown up listening to, which a lot of people still say that a woman is a woman's worst enemy. Your take on that?
Could be not in my life. My mother has supported me. My mother-in-law has supported me. I'm able to have a career because my mother-in-law is a co-parent to my daughters while having her own career. So my sisters have been like extremely supportive in my career and through my personal crises as in when they came. So I have not had that personal experience of women being each other's enemies. But yes, society is plagued with mother-in-laws tearing their daughter-in-laws and holding them back. And that just is insecurity and evilness. Written all over it and should not be done. One woman should support another woman. I had one, my HR head quit because she got married and the mother-in-law wanted her to do a 10-hour duty, come bring in money to the table, then cook for everybody at home. As to before you got married, if the mother-in-law could cook for the son, why can't she now cook for the daughter-in-law as well if she's sitting at home? Why can't the son pitch into the cooking? So the girl has to turn around and do a 10-hour duty and then cook two big meals. And that's fair to expect on her. So yes, women are other women's worst enemies, and each one needs to support another one, and each one needs to push another one, and that's when society will thrive versus each one tearing the other one down.
And I think somewhere the ones who do that are also coming, like you said earlier, from a position of envy, jealousy, insecurity, maybe something that they
Uneducatedness,
couldn't.
yeah, illiteracy.
Because,
And also societal norm that the daughter-in-law is a pin that you can pin her down and control her.
So
So
these ones, I
she's
think.
married your son, not you, and she has a life of her own. And if you're expected now to earn and contribute to the house expenses, then why can't you also be given the support as much as the guy?
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree. So I guess, yes, that's what it is. It's, It's been
Yeah, so
there.
to all mother-in-laws and making of boys' mothers, treat the daughter-in-laws as your own daughter and help her.
Yes, definitely. I agree. I agree. So, Nidhi, finally, can a woman have it all?
You have to define, each woman has to define what have it all means.
Yes.
No place is utopia and nothing is, nobody has it all. You have to define what works for you, and within what works for you, you can have it all. And
Yes.
everything's a sacrifice, everything a give and takes, and there are options that you have to choose. And whatever cards that are dealt to you, how best you deal with those cards is your version of having it all.
Correct, correct. Because so there can be no comparison. There can be no saying that somebody else got it this way, so I should also get it this way. You have
Everybody's
to.
life is their own individual imprint, and you have to work with whatever imprint has been given to you and how best you want to work with that.
Correct, correct. So you
No
can
guy
have.
gets it all, no girl gets it all. Everybody has to work with the best of the cards that's dealt with them and make the most of it.
Agree. All right. So thank you very much. Indeed. So very, what I loved about the conversation was your, clear-cut, precise perspectives on things, and you were just razor sharp. And, I think that when you are sure of what you want to say, the message gets across, and someone who's listening to you can really understand that this is what is right and this is what is not right. So thank you so much for being with us. Yeah.
Thank you, Sangeeta. I really enjoyed this. More power to you.
To you too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Tune in every Thursday for some more inspiring conversations with women trailblazers. If you like the show, follow us and you could leave a review to help us get better. You could even get in touch with us on any one of our social media handles.